You are listening to Agincourt Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. The following message, Loving Who I Am, is the fourth part in our identity series, presented Sunday, December 6, 2015, by Pastor Keith Smith. For message notes and readings that correspond with teachings on this podcast, visit our website at www.apchurch.com.
When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, do you smile? How many cry? Yesterday morning, I got up because I was thinking about this illustration, and I really looked at myself in the mirror, and I must have slept, you know, the hair was sort of going, and so it was going like this, you know. So how many, I looked in the mirror, and I laughed. but seriously, when you look in the mirror, do you see the image of someone in there that you love? You know, right away, intuitively, and then scripturally, something jumps in there. It says, oh, no, something more needs to be said than that, because Paul wrote to Timothy, for instance, and he said, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And so that's not good. How many understand if I love myself in a certain way, it's narcissism? I use people and I get things, and it's all about my self. But hold on here. Listen to Jesus. Dr. Van led us in the reading of his words. He was quoting from the Old Testament, Leviticus, James, Paul, twice quoted the same scriptures. Jesus took two Old Testament laws and he said, put them at the top of your to-do Christian list. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How many know? I get that. He's so worthy to receive my love because he loved me first. Amen? But then Jesus says this. He says the second one is equally important. They're part of the same package, he says. Love your neighbor as your... Love your... No, the last part. Love your... Love yourself. So there must be a way to love that person in the mirror in a way that doesn't have a gram of narcissism or an ounce of selfishness in it. By the time we get to communion, I pray that you love yourself the way that Jesus talks about here. And there's a woman in the Bible that is going to help us get there. See if you can figure out who she is. This is a woman that when she looked in the mirror, she probably hated the person that she saw in there. When she looked in the mirror, she saw someone that she wished looked a whole lot more like her attractive sister. She didn't see someone in the mirror that was worth very much to her father or her husband. The only reason that she was married is because her father used her to deceive the groom by hiding her in a veiled bridal gown that was intended for her sister. How many recognize who this is? Her name is Leah. 7 years later, after Leah married Jacob, Jacob marries Rachel, according to the custom of the time. And then when Leah looks in the mirror, she sees a person, watch this, who is devalued by her father, displaced by her sister, and disliked by her husband. Now, in this series, Pastor Jonathan Smith and I have been able to see in our research and looking at the Bible how Canadians look for their identity in the same three ways that Leah did. Same three ways. Trying to find their identity through their achievements and accomplishments, trying to find their identity through their appearance. So achievements, appearance. How many think the next one should start with A? Achievements, appearance, and relationships. All right, so it starts with A. and relationships. All right, let's look at achievements first. Achievements, that's when you seek to establish your identity on the approval of others, how you're viewed in the eyes of others. I've achieved certain academic or career objectives. I have this accomplishment. I have this position and this status. I have this money. I have these possessions. Therefore, I have societal approval. I have cultural approval. Do you know, I don't know how many were with me for the opening message of this series on our identity, but we saw there that a lot of people, when they do their Facebook profile, they lie. A lot of others enhance it, they exaggerate, and of course you want to put your best foot forward, we understand that, but I also found out this, that 3 out of 10 users claim that they could not live up to the idea of themselves that they have on their Facebook profile. They can't live up to that. So why would they do it then? Why not just say who they really are and what they have done? Why not just talk about accomplishments that have really happened? Because there must be something in there where they're saying, well, if you knew my limited accomplishments, you would not respect me as much. And there must be something in there that's even deeper, because what they're really saying, if you knew who I really was, you might not like me, so I'm going to pretend to be something I am not. Now, speaking about pretending, let's go back to Leah's wedding night. Jacob has arranged with Laban to marry Rachel, and that's who Leah was pretending to be. I don't know why I thought of this story. I have an Irish ancestor who told a story, and it's not Uncle Stu. An Irish ancestor, and it seems to sort of fit here. This Irish ancestor told a story about this older man. His wife died, and he met this woman, elderly woman, whose husband had died, so they decided that they would get married. And so they did, and they went home together, and it was their wedding night, and they were getting ready for bed, and she took off her artificial leg and put it in the drawer beside the bed. And then she took out her glass eye and put it in the drawer beside the bed. And then she took off her hearing aids and put them in the drawer beside the bed. And then came the teeth, her dentures, she put them in the drawer beside the bed, and then finally, she takes off her wig and puts it in the drawer beside the bed, and he's standing there dumbfounded. She says, "Aren't you coming to bed, honey?" He said, "I don't know whether to get into the bed or in the drawer." Imagine Jacob wakes up the next morning and finds himself in the arms of another woman. I mean, he's been deceived. The woman he's with is pretending to be someone else. I mean, that's the way she was brought up, right? It's the way her dad Laban taught her life was done. That's how you arrive at your accomplishments. You use people, you get things, you manipulate, you deceive, you lie if you have to. You pretend to be something that you're not. That's how you find your identity. One day Jacob was talking to God about this, and God made real to him that he had an authentic plan for Jacob's future, and he's part of God's big plan for the human race, bringing the Messiah as he promised Abraham and his family. And Jacob goes to his wives and he says, "I've just seen my life the way that God sees. It's like I've had a good look in the mirror as to where my life is headed." And he says, "I'm going to be real. And it's going to start by being honest with you, my wives. Your father is a chronic liar and deceiver. I have worked for 20 years for him now. And during that time, I've got 10 pay reductions." You can read it. That's what he said. And Jacob was, in the words of my message today, he was loving himself narcissistically. He was using people, getting things. It was always about himself because, listen to this, he didn't love who he already was. He didn't love who he really was. And it's interesting that Leah and Rachel, they jump on the bandwagon with Jacob. And they say this, chapter 31 of Genesis, verse 15. Does he not regard us, his own daughters, does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. We haven't seen a cent of our dowry. All he sees in us are, as his own daughters, are two props to hold up his false achievements. We're done. We're with you, Jacob. We're done with finding our identity in these kinds of achievements. Second place people look for to find their identity is appearances. Appearances. That's when we base our identity on the admiration of other people. Not just their approval, but their admiration for our appearance. For a lot of Leah's life, she lived in the shadow of her beautiful, attractive sister. You can imagine, every time someone visits their home, you know, you can hear them whispering behind their backs, and the girls know what they're saying. She's saying, "Now that's Rachel. She's the pretty one. That's Leah. Not so much, you know." It's happening all the time. You know, so I have a question for us in this room. What has changed in the last 4,015 years? What's changed? I feel so sad sometimes, don't you, for little girls who grow up and they think they have to look like that person that's on the stage or be that person at school and they can't be themselves. Teenage girls in high school, 7 in 10, believe that they're not good enough. They don't measure up. Their looks, their performance in school, relationships with family and friends, they just got that happening. And then there's one that when they're grown up, this is American women, so Canadian women wouldn't be near this severe in the statistics, you know that. 99% of American women would want to change something about their looks if they could. You know, I researched more deeply, guys too. You know, guys who work out, 40% of them in high school work out. You know what their goal is? To increase muscle mass. Something I never had to do. Anyway, so this. And I even found this. Do you know, I don't get out much. Listen, men have manicures. Anyway, I just thought that was news to me. It was news to me. Appearance. Achievements, appearances. Remember, it starts with A, and relationships, all right? Relationships, that's when I base my identity on the affirmation of others. The affirmation of others. Family, friends, other people in my culture, people that are around me at work or school. Leah spends years of her life obsessed with trying to find her identity in her husband's affirmation. She lived in a time and culture where, listen, here's the way a wife got affirmed. You had lots of babies. Big families were a big deal. And something I really admire about Leah is she really knew how to choose good names for her children. Genesis 29:32, Leah gave birth to a son and named him Reuben. Yeah. That's my grandson, Reuben. But listen to her heart crying out here. Surely my husband will love me now. She had another child, named him Simeon. Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. She gives birth to Levi. Now at last I can start a gene manufacturing company. No, Levi. Now at last, listen to this now. At last my husband will become attached to me. Leah is obsessed with finding her identity in her husband's affirmation. Leah's just crying out with every child that is born, I cannot love myself until you love me, Jacob. And how many know all this striving for finding her identity in achievements, appearances, and relationships? It's not working. It's not working. And it doesn't work for us either. It can work temporarily, but it doesn't give you any permanent or deep identity. You know, who are you when you have no job? Who are you when you retire? Who are you when the kids have left home? Who are you when your health breaks down and the plastic surgeon can do no more? Who are you then? Did God make us so that we would be so fragile? And we just wouldn't get an identity in our lives? Did he just... How many think that God wanted it to turn out that way for us? No, no, no. Let's go right back to the beginning. God created us, designed us to be secure in who we are, to know a closeness with our Creator, and live an environment of love and joy and peace where we could trust God and trust one another, and there really was peace on earth. So, how many think things have changed? Quite a bit. How do we end up deceived and pretending and trying to find our identity in stuff that's so temporary? Well, the first book in the Bible tells us how it started. You remember how the devil, the serpent, slithers sneakily and slimily up to the first ancestors? And he lies to them. He lies to them by telling God's lying. Genesis 3, 4, 5, he says, you won't die. You can eat whatever you want. You can go your own way. You can do whatever you want. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Watch this now. This is the first case in human history of us seeing ourselves through the eyes of someone other than God. All they'd ever heard was what God created them for, what he wanted for them. And he gave them a free will and told them to stay away from stuff that would take what he wanted for them away from them. Up until now, every time Adam and Eve looked in the mirror, they would just see the image of God so clearly, uncluttered by the poison, mess of sin. It was all good. The Bible says it was very good. You know, every time I hit that part, telling people that, I think of that song. Is it Adele? Someone says she put out a new album or something. You know, I always think, you could have had it all. Anyway, just, you could have. Adam and Eve, you could have had it all. How many think we should put that on the next Agent Court Live? But the devil shows up, lies about our truth. Watch this. He says, you can go your own way. You don't have to go God's way, and you'll find a better identity outside of what God says. You'll have a better identity because you'll be your own God. You won't need him to be your God. How many know? Guess who's lying here? The devil's lying, and he still lies to people. And he tells them that they can find a better identity than the one that God created them to have. He still lies that way. And people are always trying to find their identity through the eyes of someone other than God. So before we have communion, let's see how this can all change. If we're not going to try and find our identity in our achievements and appearances and relationships, it all changes. How many think Dr. Van can change in his view of me? I mean, I couldn't believe it. Just watch this on the screen.
That's covered in tattoos. You see this, man? Every one of them describing a relationship he's been in. Or he worked in a tattoo parlor.
Isn't that neat? He had a more positive view of me than what was originally presented. I thought that was thank you. Leah changes. And Jacob gets a different view of her. Let's fast forward to years and years later and see how Jacob thought of Leah. Watch this now. Remember when Jacob was in Egypt? He had two requests about his burial. One was that, don't bury me in Egypt, bury me back in the land that God has promised. right? I want to be back there. That plan that God has to bring the Messiah in the world, I want to be buried in a place that represents that. Second request, listen to this. It's very touching. I want to be buried next to, not Rachel. I want to be buried next to Leah. Leah. What happened to Jacob? Well, something happened in Leah that resulted in Jacob's view of Leah. He wanted to honor, and he loved that woman. He came to love her so deeply. That's the one he chose to be buried next to. What happened? It wasn't overnight. I kept reading Leah's story. She still struggled with some places of her identity, but I can tell you that she went in a whole new direction. She was never the same after the turning point that I am about to show you. How many remember what the name of her first child was? Reuben, right? Good name. She says, "Surely my husband will love me." Next one, Simeon. "The Lord heard that I was not loved. He gave me this one too." Levi, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me." Until this point, every kid's name screams out, "I find my identity in my relationship with Jacob." And that all changes. Listen to Leah when she has the next child. How many know the name Judah means praise? She says, "I'm going to call him Judah because this time I will praise the Lord." This time, it's all going to be different. The day of me finding my deepest identity in my husband or my achievements or my appearance, comparing myself to my sister, those days are over. From this day on, I am going to live for the Lord my God. It's a different sense of identity. Now, before we have communion, I want to give you two truths that are going to help you this week. Because this whole thing about finding our identity, it's something that happens when we're born again, but how many know it's a lifelong process? Let's just sort of move it along more quickly this week, just by taking these two truths to heart, two ways to look in the mirror and love who I am. Number one, stop settling for any false ID. Stop settling for lies. Listen, let's establish this as we did in the first message of this series. No one other than the one that made you in his image has what it takes to give you your true identity. No one other than God has what it takes. No one. No achievements. How many are thankful you are more than what you do? You're more than your job. You're more than your role in the family and what you do for them. You're more than your accomplishments in your life. Listen, when they are all gone, you will still be you. You will still have that identity. You will still be able to look in the mirror and see the image of God, someone who is valued by God. And no appearances. How many appearances don't stay the same forever? And don't anyone say amen. But appearances don't provide my identity. Oh, I'm so glad that my identity in Jesus Christ is more than skin deep. How many know I have a beauty that's going to last forever? Or I'm a man, I have a handsomeness that's going to last forever. No achievement, no appearance, and no relationship has what it takes. Listen, the best a person can do is point you to the Lord to find your identity there, right? A family member, friend, that's the best that they can do is point you to the Lord to find your identity. There are no job title. You can't find it in a beauty magazine. You can't find it in a best friend forever. Only God has what it takes to restore his image in us. Only God. Amen? Secondly, so you look in the mirror this week and you stop listening to lies. And secondly, start everything reflecting, bless you, start everything reflecting God's love. Everything, sneezes to everything, reflecting God's love. Watch this. Did you know this? When you and I love God, all we're doing is responding to a love that's already been given. You know, some people think, well, before I became a Christian, God didn't love me. Listen, he has not stopped loving you. While you were still a sinner, he loved you and gave himself on the cross for you. How many understand that you can't be any more loved than you already are by God? Amen? He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. So we start everything with that. You can even see it. It's illustrated in Leah's life. If you look at verse 31, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved. That's the part I want to focus on. He does something for her, but he saw that Leah was not loved. Don't miss this now. This is before Leah was loved by Jacob, before Leah was even loving herself. God already loved her. So don't miss this, dear one. Whatever anyone else thinks of you, whatever you look like or don't look like, whatever you have accomplished or failed to accomplish, God loves you. He loves you. Just that cannot change. This is love, John says. This is love. You want to know what it is? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. How do we know he loved us? He gave himself for us. See, the question is not, are you loved? I told you, if you're ever having a bad day and one think nobody loves me, remember the cross. You are loved. You can't be any more loved than you already are. He loves you. The question is not, are you loved by God? The question is, do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's why Jesus said it's the most important thing you do. It's case closed as to whether or not you're loved by God. That's not going to change. The question is, do you love God? He says that the two most important commandments I'm going to put at the top of your list, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then I saw something this past week I've never seen before. I get that. I've taught about that not that long ago. Love the Lord. Remember I drew those pictures for the kids, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I get that. I always wondered, Jesus, why did you say it's equally important, love your neighbor as yourself? What could be any more important than our love for you in response to your love for us? But watch this. Do you remember how we said at the beginning, if I have a love of self, I can become very narcissistic. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, right? But what happens if I don't even look at my neighbor or myself without first looking to God? Watch this now. If I love myself without first loving God, I end up with self-love. I end up with narcissism. But when I start with loving God with all, then I'll love myself and others with no danger of being selfish. Do you see that? It'll be safe to love myself because I already love God first. And then I'll never look at myself or my neighbor the wrong way when I have a right relationship with God and I see everything through the lens of my love for you, God, and your love for me. Do you see that? Okay, you didn't see it? Let me illustrate. I was helping one of my daughters-in-law with their youngest grandson and helping change the diaper, which, as my wife reminds me, I didn't help as much when they went. Anyway, so I was helping and you know, the dirty work was done and we put the diaper on and we're doing up the clothes. And how many have seen little kids' clothes, the baby's clothes, and they're all these snaps? So I knew what I was doing, just snap, 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 get up the top. And there's more snaps and more material left over at the top, you know? And that's what a lot of us do. We just say appearances, achievements, relationships. We snap, 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 snap. And Jesus says, hold on here. Start first with God, right? Get the first one right. And my daughter-in-law was sweet. They want the kids to call me Poppy when they can talk. So don't you start. But they... Poppy, there's a gold one there. Sort of, they let you know which one to start with. And then when you got the first one right, how many know you ended up having it done completely? If you don't get the first one right, then no matter how well you do with the others, you still don't end up complete. Jesus is saying, start with loving God, with all. And then everything else you do in your life, including loving yourself, will end up in the right place. Amen? Yes. How many understand now? Amen. Good, because I don't have another illustration. Start with your identity in God. Learn to say, I live to love you, God. I mess up sometimes, and you keep cleansing me, and that just makes me love you all the more. I live to love you, God. And then your achievements and appearances and relationships will find the rightful place, because you always have a deeper identity, because it's found in that relationship where you are loved by God and you love Him back. And so here's the project. As a matter of fact, on the way out the door, you're going to get those verses that Jesus said. And you might want to put them up by the mirror if this helps you with the project. But here's the project. For every morning this week, if you work night shift, then do it in the evening before you go to bed. But when you look in the mirror and you start hearing those voices that say, you got to do this, achievement, accomplishment, you got to study that, you got to get all these deadlines, you got to do this at work. And that, and you start to look at yourself and say, oh my goodness, what happened? Anyway, and you start to have thoughts of what other people say about you and think about you, maybe some hurtful comments in there. How many of you just go, no. You know what it means? It means you're not looking in the mirror deep enough. You're just looking at appearances and achievements and relationships. How many know you were made for an identity that is deeper than that? So keep looking in the mirror until you see the image of God that was broken but restored by Jesus Christ. And you've been born again. You have this whole new identity. Just keep looking at yourself in the mirror until you can say, Jesus, you love me. And I love you. And I'm learning to love that person in the mirror. And it's safe to love them because I live to love you. And I want to love my neighbor. I want to help as many people as I can. Amen? That's the way it works. We start with our love for God. So however you looked in the mirror last week, how many are ready to look in the mirror at a different way? Look in the mirror at yourself a different way this week. How many think you can get to a place where you love yourself? You love who God made you and redeemed you to be. Amen? Love that person. Get to a place where you say, you know, it's going to, last week I thought this about myself when I looked in the mirror. This week it's going to be different, because the Messiah from the tribe of Judah has redeemed me and restored the image of God in me, and I like what I see. I like what I see. So I'm going to invite you to begin the project as we prepare for communion. Natalie's going to sing a song that's really going to help us. I have a quote in your notes by Timothy Keller that will really help us if you want to check that out, or check it out this week. But let's use this time as we prepare for a communion to say, God, this is real stuff. We want to find our identity, not in temporary fading things. We want to find our identity in you. So let's pray about that together. Jesus, thank you that you tell us the truth about who we really are. And we can trust that more than any pursuit or pretending or any person, whatever they would say to us. We find our identity in you, Lord. I pray that during this time before we receive communion, that we would stop settling for any false ID. We'd think about where we're being lied to. Think about how much time we spent thinking about our appearance or other people say. And we want to do what's right by other people, and we want to look our best, but we don't want to find our identity there. So Lord, we stop settling for a false ID. But Lord, then help us to fill in that blank with you and your love. Help us to see ourselves as loved by you. And then just to say, and Jesus, thank you for your love. I love you in response. I love you, Lord. I live for you. Thank you, Lord. So use these moments, Lord, to prepare our hearts for a very meaningful communion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You were listening to Agent Court Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at www.apchurch.com/podcast or search for Agent Court Pentecostal Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the Creative APC team.